Hey, good morning. This is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I was about to say the SOT room. Remember when we used to refer to this as the SOT room? I do still have the SOT room up and running. I'm having some difficulty having access to it, but looking forward to loading the interview at some point with Mr. Hightower within the SOT room. So anyhow, this is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. Thank you so much for joining me today on this edition of the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. So I told you that I would follow up with you from a behavioral scientist perspective on why Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is responding the way that he is to the Diddy controversy. And so today I'm going to unpack it in a very simplistic way. And so you always know that I prefer to do examples because examples makes the topic and the subject matter tangible for people that don't necessarily haven't been following me and haven't adapted to the lingo and the language just yet that is utilized in this particular setting. And so there is a understanding, right, amongst the business sector that whatever you don't whatever you don't condemn, you condone, right? That is the assumption, right? That is the assumption within most business cultures that when various political topics arise, that if you don't condemn it, then you must condone it. And that is why historically people say within work environments, there are certain topics that you shouldn't talk about, such as religion, politics, and there was another one, religion, politics, and money, right? And when we say money, it basically lends to how much money you're making, basically, or what you do with your money, things of that nature, right? Politics, religion, and money. Those are the three things that you're not supposed to talk about within a work environment for a lot of different reasons. And it's just always been one of those silent rules, right, within the business world. And so because most of us operate or work in or function within the some sort of business arena, that particular hidden, if I could refer to it as a hidden handshake, right? That's how people form tribes, right? Within business and within organizations, right? We don't necessarily form tribes by what we agree with, but we form tribes by what we don't agree with, right? And so what you don't condemn, you condone. And so as I begin to unpack the topic of why Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, and so we know that Curtis, media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and Sean P. Diddy Combs, that they have been somewhat rivals, right, for the past, I want to say since 50 Cent's status changed in the entertainment field, that it has shifted, right? That his relationship with specific what I consider to be mega stars, his relationship with them shifted. Absolutely. P. Diddy Combs is one of them, but he's not the only one. But the rivalry between those two began to strengthen so much within the past, I want to say 2 to 3 years. It's been polarizing, right? And so there are some rumors within the entertainment industry as to how that rivalry heightened, right? Because I don't talk about Curtis 50 Cent Jackson's personal life, I will not divulge or unpack that particular topic, right? However, there is some very specific reasons why people within the entertainment field have been whispering as to how that escalated, right? And so, 50 Cent is old school, and so he has some boundaries that he doesn't necessarily cross as an individual. And so I think because there are boundaries that he wouldn't cross, that he anticipated and expected for other people to understand and to process those boundaries as well. So let me first say this. I didn't even realize that the beef between him and P. Diddy was real, right? I was under the impression, because there's so many things that take place in entertainment that really is just for entertainment purposes and for people allowing themselves a platform, right? But there are some beefs that are real. When people step on somebody else's platform to try and elevate themselves, and so they make someone a target, thinking that somehow that it would help them to gain some sort of strategic position, right, in the entertainment field. I have always seen it as a weakness when men do that to women, right? Every now and again, you see men do that to women. I see that as a weakness. However, there are circumstances where I've seen women attack men first, right? And they responded in a way that would bring the chatter under subjection, right? Like the situation between Wendy Williams and 50 Cent. Why Wendy Williams, and I keep telling people, 50 Cent is really not the gentleman that you want to be enemies with, right? We see where Wendy Williams is right now, right? And I keep telling people, like, the industry has like these hidden secrets. And it's these whispers that people that enter or trying to enter into the industry, you know who's on the up and up. You know who you have to deal with and compromise if you try to deal with them. Everybody has these little idiosyncrasies about them that really, they're at the end of the day, they're labels or things, the labels that have attached themselves to people's brands. And I've been telling people for several years, right? 50 Cent is really not the gentleman that you want to play with, which is risque for me to decide to write. To create 50 Cent as a subject. And let me be honest, had I known the things that I know now, that I uncovered in the of having a better understanding of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, had I known then what I know now, I would have probably never pursued this as a subject matter. And it's not because I feel like he's like a notorious business person. He's just the type of person that you don't want to offend, right? If you offend him or cross him, it is very dangerous, because he destroys his enemies, right? In ways that make you feel sorry for them, right? But when you look back at it historically, you'll realize that he didn't start it, right? It always, when he destroys somebody or you see somebody's character being destroyed publicly, and there's somebody that was in rivalry with Curtis Jackson, when you historically look back at it, it's usually somebody that has pursued him and tried to build a platform off of him in a negative way, right? The reason why I was drawn to him, one is because I seen the subject matter and seen how he felt about his grandmother and his mother, and it touched me in a place because it takes a certain type of personality and compassion within a man to, number one, to talk about his the people that mean something to him publicly. Most men will hide that. Right. When he began to talk about his grandmother was still living, right? And then he publicly has had conversations about his mother, right? And so it's for me to see him operating and talking and having conversation and dialogue in a different vein, right? In a Curtis Jackson vein, and not necessarily in a 50 Cent vein, 50 Cent vein. It was intriguing for me. However, the things that I know now, had I known them then, I probably would have opted out. As we unpack, why is he so, if whatever, so I don't think people understand either that most of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson's consultants, advisors, and business partners are Ivy League university graduates, right? Most of them have graduated from Ivy League universities. So 50 from his, and I'm saying in every way he turns, there's someone of he's surrounded by intelligence. Even when we look at the writers of his shows, there are people who have graduated Ivy League, right? So when we talk about the topic of if you don't condemn it, then you condone it. This is what happens to particularly a race or a demographic of people when they remain silent, when they have the level of influence that 50 Cent has, right? His characterization and his brand, right, is associated with his ability to be able to articulate his disdain or his support of various topics. Throughout the years, we have seen him do so and do so without apology. As a matter of fact, when I started referring to him as media mogul, he publicly started to go into interviews and say that he didn't want to be a mogul because a mogul comes with a responsibility that he has to carry himself within a certain demeanor, which would restrict the language and his political postures. And people don't, they don't, when he voices his opinion, people don't, they don't attack him because he's not apologetic about his opinion, right? It's how he feels. It's his truth and his reality, and he doesn't shift from it, right? Or backpedal. You will very seldomly hear him backpedal from anything. I don't know that I've ever heard him backpedal from anything. And so why has he been so aggressively pursuing the topic with Puffy, P. Diddy, Sean P. Diddy Combs? So first of all, it is his rivalry. However, I have seen historically Curtis show compassion towards his rivalries as it relates to certain topics, because he has some boundaries, right? Curtis and I come from the same type of background, right? Where there was honor amongst thieves, right? So there were certain boundaries that people did not cross as it related to war, right? Or rivalry. There were certain boundaries that people didn't cross. And if they crossed those boundaries, they were seen as ignorant and they made themselves a target, right, by crossing those lines. And there was a public disdain for people who crossed certain lines, right? You didn't cross lines with people's children. You didn't cross lines with people's mothers, grandparents. You didn't cross lines with just various topics, right? It was just people's wives or baby mamas, right? There was just a thing in the street that people didn't cross those lines. That's where I come from, right? Curtis 50 Cent Jackson very much comes from that place as well. And so that's why when you see him, although he has a disdain for Jay-Z, he still has a respect and a reverence for Beyonce. Like, you've never really heard him say anything negative about Beyonce. And that's because he has a respect and a reverence for women, right? On top of that, there's a boundary, this silent rule that you don't attack people's wives, their baby mamas, their children. And the grandparents, right? It was just a hidden rule that was aligned, right? That you didn't cross. And so, when Kim Porter passed, you never heard him, address or talk about Kim Porter out of respect, right? There's just certain things that people who really come from the places that street and gang culture, that's how you can usually know who's really from it and who's really faking it, because of the hidden rules that people typically don't cross. That's how you know who's indoctrinated with it, right? And speaking of indoctrinated, we're going to talk about that today, that topic. That really is the vocabulary word for today, is indoctrinated. And so the very simplistic explanation of why Curtis has been so aggressive and almost belligerent about him pursuing this unfortunate situation with P. Diddy. Number one, it's been, from what I understand, it's been knowledgeable, right? There's been some things that's been knowledgeable. So as it relates to the things that I knew, they weren't along those lines. I've never heard that about P. Diddy. P. Diddy. The only thing I ever heard about P. Diddy was that you were not allowed to talk about his children, right? I heard that probably 2 years into. So when I began to really, really pursue entertainment, I remember there was a time I was about to compliment his daughters. And I think I said to somebody that they were beautiful young ladies. And somebody said, don't say anything about his children. And I was like, that was a compliment. But now hindsight is 2020, and I see how You can't, you really can't give people an inch, right? You give people an inch, they take a mile. And so so there is just this hidden rule that you just didn't say anything about his children, period, right? Complimentary or not, right? If you were not within his circle of influence, or someone that was like that he seen as friends and family, you just didn't talk about his children. That was the only thing that I've ever heard about P. Diddy. So when this situation surfaced, I don't know that anything particularly ever surprises me. However, I always find it disappointing that it always surfaces around money. And so one of the reasons why, and you know, I've been in philanthropy for a long time, for many years. One of the reasons why we never divulged publicly when people donated a certain amount of money, right, that would be seen in the public as substantial. So $1,000 or more, right? We never would reveal those type of philanthropic donors publicly because of some of the things that would be associated with that level of giving, which is why it's always been distasteful when people would record somebody doing, what did they used to do in church? It's now taboo. People don't do offering lines in church anymore. It's now a taboo thing. But for a very short amount of season, people were doing it and recording it, and it was always seen as distasteful. In fact, so much so that I felt like you had a right to go back and sue an organization if they ever recorded you giving without your permission, right? There's a reason why silent auctions were created and why they are silent auctions. And I'm not stretching back to slavery, though I'm going to touch that topic here very shortly in a little while. So we're going to talk about chattel slavery. And then we're going to talk about, and for a very brief moment, and maybe, and then we're going to unpack this thing in a very simplistic, way. So whatever you don't condemn, you condone. And so people have been looking to me to make some comments about the P. Diddy situation. Any type of sexual harassment, any of that. I have protected children for a number of years. And so I always have a disdain for it at any level. But I've been very involved in the past few years in passing on information to agencies at the highest level for behavior that I've seen associated with sex trafficking youth and young adults, and trying to train them with certain behaviors as seen as acceptable, right? And so within the particular region that I live in and reside in, we're actually within the crossroads of having high populations of sex trafficking. One of those reasons why the particular municipality I live in, why sex trafficking has increased, particularly as it relates to youth and young adults and the innocent. And when I talk about the innocent, I'm talking about adults who just have not been exposed, right, to the evil in this world, and to understand and process and have a tangibility of how evil people can be. Because they completely eliminated the adult industry We used to have a strip in the Dayton vicinity that was that really leaned into the adult industry. Anybody knows, research has proven, when you eliminate access for adult entertainment for men, that it increases the instances of situations against children and against the innocent, right? The adult entertainment industry, however I feel about it, right? It has its purpose in society, and it's one of those it is one of those ills or ailments of society that nobody never talks about, but it serves its purpose. And there are people who that want to work in the industry, and there are people that that enjoy the industry as consumers of the industry, right? It has its purpose in society. And so when that industry was eliminated, particularly in the municipality where I lived, there have been some crime has increased, right? And situations have increased. As a matter of fact, I wrote an article about it, and here recently, about 2 to 3 weeks ago, someone else just wrote an article about it. And particularly, it talked about violence in suburbia has increased where in the vicinity where I live at. And so I think the language to talk about violence in suburban neighborhoods has increased because they anticipated on being in inner cities. But when it begins to, the lines of demarcation and certain type of crimes begin to run into suburban neighborhoods, then that's when it draws the attention. And so there's that. And so while I believe that the adult entertainment industry is still functioning within the inner city, it is not necessarily as readily available to suburbia as much as it used to be. I think we still have one, maybe two adult strip clubs in the suburban vicinity where I reside. And this is also where I was raised. But there used to be a particular geographical space or neighborhood where you could literally, it almost reminded you of like a little Las Vegas strip. You could literally drive up and down the street, and there was at least about 4 or 5 strip clubs, right? And so in saying all of that, what you don't condemn, you condone. And so when we look at, this is what happens when we look at 9/11, right? And the reason why people feel the way that they feel about a specific demographic of people is, and we're talking about what is indoctrinated. When you don't condone, when you don't condemn something, and you are of a specific demographic of people, then the people on the outside looking in their demographics of people, naturally assume that you condone it because there is something within your culture that has indoctrinated it within you to say that it's okay. And that is why discrimination against a specific demographic of people increased drastically after 9/11. I don't think historically here in America, we have been very open to immigration until 9/11. I'm sorry. And after 9/11, the racism and harassment towards for anybody that had a hijab or a head wrap that Muslims wear and their ethnicity looked as if they lent to the ethnicity of the 9/11 bombers, they were subject to harassment and subject to being stereotyped. And here's the thing about when people stereotype a specific demographic of people, it is typically because of actions. And this is why, and we could have a biblical conversation, but this is why you don't hear Jews. You've never heard of a Jewish individual who constantly makes movies about slavery, right? Like you cannot name one famous Jewish individual who constantly produces movies about slavery, because the Jewish people, right, they are very much a people of faith, and they have a indoctrination of their faith in all of the Jewish people, right? So like with African-American people, some of us have Christianity, some of us have studied Muslim religion, some of us are this and some of us are that, and there's some Black people who don't believe in a higher being. Like, so African-American people don't have any specific faith that we can identify with and say that it is indoctrinated within that race of people, right? We're the one race of people who have multiple beliefs and faith-based ethnicity, right? When you look at the Jewish people, or you look at, and I think the 9/11 people were Arabian, or you look at the demographic of Arabian people that wear the hijabs and the head wraps, they're associated with the Muslim faith. When you look at the Jewish people, they are associated with the Jewish faith, right? The reason why you will, and Jewish people, and so there is no other historical event outside of shadow slavery that had an impact on society or lasted as long as it did. And so that is why we know today that it has the impact that it has. But it is not the event that has the impact, but it is the reliving of the event consistently through movies and documentaries and constant reminding of the information that has really had the impact on African Americans the most. And it is not because we tell the story, it is the perspective from which we were taught to tell the story, right? Jewish people don't make movies about the Holocaust because they understand that the curse is not with the oppressed, but the curse is with the oppressor. And the only way that the, and I'm using the word curse because that seems to be it's a biblical term, right? But African-American people have been indoctrinated through Christian faith to believe that someone can do something to you and it curses you, because that was what we were taught during slavery. But it is biblical that it is the offender and the oppressor who carries the curse, not the oppressed. And that is why Jewish people don't make movies about the Holocaust. And that is why they were able to recover, and there is financial stability and security associated with Jewish people. So, fast forwarding in this very simplistic explanation, because 50 Cent is surrounded by Ivy League intelligence, he understands that what he doesn't condemn, that people will associate it with his brand and think that he condones it because of his influence. And because of the parallelism of the influence that Sean P. Diddy Combs has, and because they are in a very specific demographic of wealthy African-American men in entertainment that have the ability to open up doors for future entertainers, particularly for women and young individuals. And so whatever that looks like, be it male or female, he is intentionally condoning it, intentionally condemning it, because he does not want people to misrepresent or misunderstand that in any shape, form, or fashion that he would condone such behavior. And it takes someone at the same level of impact within that demographic of people to speak out against the injustice, or it is assumed by the intellectuals within the observing community, right? People such as myself, Ivy League educators and graduates, the major thinkers of the world, right? It is the assumption that when there has been an egregious behavior done and it has surfaced from a specific demographic of people, if somebody with the same level of impact and influence does not speak out about it, it is the assumption from the thinkers in society that it is that behavior is condoned because there is some type of cultural value that is indoctrinated in that culture of people that think that that is okay. And then it begins to have a ripple effect in that particular profession, and you will soon see a decline in the status of that particular demographic of people because they won't be trusted to operate in that particular profession because nobody at the equal level of impact condemned the behavior to say that they didn't condone it. Because the curse does not follow the oppressed. The curse is upon the oppressor. And that is why you will never encounter a famous and very wealthy, influential Jewish person that will constantly make movies about the Holocaust. And that is why the Jewish people have been able to recover economically, financially, and socially at a level of influence in society, because they don't perpetuate the stereotypes through the insistent sharing of information and the narrative about how they tell the story of the Holocaust. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that. And so while there's been a lot of speculation, I know that it is the intelligence of his advisors. Why wouldn't he speak out about it, right? If he in fact condemns it, at his level of operation, which is of equal impact, it would be egregious if he didn't speak out about it, right? And that is that. My name is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver, bringing my perspective into the room. And if you'd like to sow a seed into the Elect Leadership Academy, you can do so at $SALTROOM. If you would like to be a part of my book tour for Outliers, a lived research study on media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, you can email at electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. You always have the opportunity to order from the bakery. And I always place that link within the body of the message. And until we see each other again, live in the overflow. And so while I used to record this particular show on a weekly basis, publicly, it is now only available on a weekly basis to subscribers. The public posting and talks, as we can refer to it, will probably be about once every 3 months. I'll probably start out as every other month because I realize that people are used to hearing my voice in this space. But I now have platforms where people pay a considerable amount of money to hear what I have to say. And out of respect for their investment, I've decided to begin to pull in the access to the information that I divulge. One, because I think a lot of the information that I've shared throughout the years have been used in a toxic way and not for the good of humanity. But the right information in the wrong hands can be toxic. And I think that that has occurred more often than I wanted it to. And so at this point, I'm starting to pull that information in. And the people who have a desire to be informed and empowered based on the subject matter that I am an expert on have invested the time and the money to sit in rooms and classrooms and in organizations and institutions to be able to learn what I have to offer. I also think, out of honor for the organizations that hire and employ me to present that information to their selected demographic of people, that I owe it to them to only present that information in those formats because they have hired me to do so. All right. And so my name is Tanola Oliver, behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver, just adding my two cents to the topic because, right, Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is a subject matter for me professionally, not personally. And I just want to keep, I don't see it as a personal responsibility, but because I decided to make him a subject matter, right, within my agency of Elect Leadership Academy Foundation, and because I built an entire curriculum around his professional life, I think it's important to me, to my constituents, the people that support my agency, to maintain the sanitation of what he represents in the entertainment and business lane. And that is important to me because I am a woman of integrity. And though I'm not perfect, I try to align myself with what I see as integral, right? And despite what people feel about him, because of the way he articulates himself, I still see him as a force of integrity to do business with. and how he chooses to handle his enemies on a personal level is none of my business. And so my name is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. Thank you so much for joining me on this segment of the Making of the Mogul radio show, where the dream is free and the hustle is sold separately. If you'd like to sow a love offering into what we do, you can always support us at $SALTROOM. And to book me on my book tour or to have me speak within your organizations, you can email me at electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. And I'll see you somewhere out there in some room, some classroom, some organization to have a conversation, an intellectual conversation. All right, living till we see each other again, living the overflow. Peace.